Well, what an incredible video that we can watch those images, and I'm sure that there's all kinds of memories that come to mind as you think about and consider what it is to see those children and even have children in your life, whether they're nephews, nieces, grandchildren, or your own children. You've got all kinds of things that I'm sure come to mind when that, and we love, I'm sure most everybody in this room would say, well, let me say this, would not say, those stinking little kids, I wish they'd get out of here. Nobody'd say that because we love children. There's just something about kids when we see them that draws our hearts to them. There's something incredible about kids as we consider that. You know, they say that kids will change everything. When you have a kid, they'll change everything. Well, I think most everybody that have had kids in here would say, amen, brother. Because, they change the amount of sleep that we get. They change the amount of money that we spend on ourselves and them. They change our ability to remember things. Am I right about that? I know the mothers are like, yeah, I can't remember anything that I could before I had kids. It affects us, right? It changes sometimes the sanity that we're able to have, right? I'm sure that we can all agree to that to some extent, that you have these kids in your life and you just aren't quite as sane as you were beforehand. As a matter of fact, I remember a story one time. I was at a youth event when I was a youth pastor. And this speaker got up and he started talking about him and his kids and all this. And now he's driving a minivan and all of these different things that he swore that he would never do. And then he says, you know, I tell my kids all the time, I used to be cool. And of course, his kids kind of laughed at him and said, no, I did. Your mom, she used to be cool. Back in high school and college, we were cool. And then we had kids, and you guys sucked all the cool out of us. And so I think that to some degree, there's a little bit of truth in that because kids change things. We are very different people because of kids. But you know what? We're very different people in good ways because of kids. We are very different people because kids make us better people, because they make us want to strive to be better so that we can lead them better, so that we can help them better. I wouldn't change being a parent for anything in the world. And I know that we're talking about baby dedication, child dedication here, but I don't want anyone in this room to check out. Because one thing that we must understand and remember is even if your kids are grown and gone and have kids of their own, you're not removed from the element of equation at that point. You have the ability, every single person who has kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces, everybody in this room has the ability to help leave a legacy in that child's life. And that's what we must be about, especially, y'all, especially where we're at today in our country. I'm going to tell you something. Unless we instill in our children, in our nephews, in our nieces, in our grandchildren, the reality of who Jesus Christ is, and the power that Jesus Christ can change lives because he's changed our lives, unless we instill that in our kids, they're not going to get it anywhere else. They will not get it anywhere else. And so we must take up that gauntlet. Every single person in this room that has a child of some sort or fashion in their lives to stand up and say, let me show you Jesus. Let me help you understand what it is to experience life because Jesus is life. We must all do that. And that's what's so great about the church. We as the church can stand up and say, let's help one another. And that's what part of what child dedication is all about. It's for us to be able to say, here are new lives, new children that are in our church family. Let us lift them up and love them and support them and pray for them. Let us make sure that in everything we are helping to help them raise children that will see Jesus. That's what we ought to be all about. And I wouldn't trade being a parent for anything in the world. And it's hard. As a matter of fact, this is funny. My oldest son comes into the room the other day and he said, man, you and mom have got the hardest job in the world. And I said, why? And he said, because that little kid of yours is hard. And he'd watched them all of, what, an hour? And he's saying that? And so, yeah, it's hard. It's very hard at times, but it's so worth it. It is so worth it to have children in our lives. It's so worth it to be able to raise those kiddos. And I can remember vividly every single birth of my sons. I can remember very vividly every single one of them. They were all born in different cities. One was born in Louisville, and I apologize to him for that fact all the time. One was born in Oklahoma City. When we were living in Seminole, we drove into Oklahoma City, and one was born in Tulsa. And so we've got them spread out all over the place. But our oldest, our first time that we've ever experienced that, I remember going to the hospital early in the morning and checking in and being ready and just waiting for that baby to come. And I remember as he came, looking at him, and as I'm doing now, I started tearing up. And I'm not a crier. I'm really not. Those of you that know me, as a matter of fact, I remember one time one of the boys said, "Dad never cries. What's his problem?" But whenever that boy was born, I remember looking at him, just tears welled up in my eyes. And you know what's funny is every single boy, every single one of them, when they were born, I had tears that welled up in my eyes. And I understood fully and completely tears of joy and what that was all about. And our families had come a long way to come out to Louisville and wait for that incredible blessed moment. And I had tears flowing in my eyes. And Jamie said, "You better go tell him he's here." And so I walk out. I'm just full of tears. And they're like, "What's wrong? Is everything okay?" I mean, they were worried because they don't see me cry because I'm not a crier. But these tears all over my face. "Is everything all right? Is Jamie okay?" And I said, "Oh, it's great. He's a boy and he's here and he's beautiful." And they're trying to figure out still, why is he crying? And when the second was born and I had tears in my eyes, like, "Oh, he's doing it again." And when the third one was here and I had tears in my eyes, "Oh, here he goes again." I don't cry about much, but I had tears of joy for that moment. Why? Because it's such a blessing when it comes to seeing children. And I think back to each one of my boys when they were born and think to myself, what a blessing. What an incredible blessing that we have that. You know why we see and have a reaction the way that we do when we see a child that's born? Well, for one, because we are in awe of the miracle of life. Life is a miracle. Life is something that is a precious, incredible miracle. As a matter of fact, I don't know if the doctor that delivered Caleb was a nurse or not. You remember, a Christian or not? You remember this, Jamie? And she was talking to us before Caleb came, and she said something to the degree of, "I can't believe how anybody can see the miracle of a life and not believe in some sort of a God." No idea if she was a believer or not, but she knew that we were not just here by happenstance. She knew that we weren't evolved from something crazy out of the ocean. She knew that there was somebody that created us. Because when we see life, that's what life tells us. Now, because we have this reaction because we know that children are a blessing. As I've already said, we see these children and it's hard not to smile at a baby. It's hard not to see a baby and make little goofy noises and do things that we normally wouldn't do on a typical day in our lives. But we do those things because we see this incredible blessing and it gives us a little bit of joy of seeing this life and knowing that there's new life. But we also have these reactions because deep down we know that only God can create life and that it is a gift for us to be a part of it. It really is a gift for us to be a part of it. Have you ever thought about the idea that first of all, we're created in God's image and we have the ability out of all of creatures and all of creation in this world, we have the unique ability to exemplify God in a unique way. We are made in His image. We are made in His image to the point where we have the ability to reflect Him. And one of the things that's so incredible in the way that we have the ability to reflect Him is in this thing of having kids. We have the ability in having kids to have a little us, to have something that is, in essence, created in our likeness, that looks like us, that ends up acting like us, whether good or sometimes bad. They will take on our characteristics. They will have our image to some degree. I remember, again, when I was a youth pastor and I took a bunch of teenagers to Six Flags, and I took, at that point, Caleb. Caden was not old enough to go to the Six Flags that year, but Caleb was old enough, and so we took him. And me and Caleb were walking up in front of everybody, and one of the youth girls said to Jamie, "My goodness, he even walks like Drew." We have the incredible ability in our kids for them to look like us. I know that I've been told, "Oh, you look just like your dad." Or whenever I was getting to the point where I was old enough, they would ask if this was my dad, and I said, "No, this is Drew." "Oh, you sound just like your dad." We have the incredible ability to be able to exemplify a young kid, to be a part of that through God's blessing, to have the ability to have a little us, something that's created somewhat in our image, which is just incredible to think about and consider. So with this tremendous blessing, though, of having a child comes the weight of knowing that you're responsible for this child. And as some of you first-time parents are seeing, it's a heavy weight sometimes. And you're thinking, I'm taking care of this. This baby's dependent upon me completely. Yes, but you can handle it. All right. Every person that has ever had a baby has thought to themselves, oh, my goodness, I'm going to mess this up. No, you're going to be all right. And you can handle that. But I will say that having a church family is detrimental in order for us to be able to have the support that we need in those things. And so we know the weights, and we know that their lives are fully and completely dependent upon us. But we know more importantly that in order for us to be the parents that we need to be, in order for us to be the grandparents that we needed to be, to be the aunt, the uncle, whoever it is to be, we must look to God and say, God, help me to look like you so that I can lead them in the right way. So if you have a copy of the scripture, I'd like for you to open up to Psalm 127. Great text, and this is dealing with God's power, sovereignty, His providence in our life. But I want us to see a few truths of how we can be better parents through this. So Psalm 127 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go too late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to us His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So we see some things here, some truths, some really neat ideas that we can consider on how can we do this incredible task of leaving a legacy for our kids so that they can see Jesus, not only in us, but so that Jesus can be instilled in them. The first thing that I believe that we need to understand is that we must rely on God and His wisdom to help you invest or build in your child's life. Rely on God. In everything, we must rely on God. We must see God for who He is and understand that God is the Almighty, Sovereign, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is on His throne in heaven today, and He is not surprised by anything that takes place, not only in the world, but not only in our lives. He's not surprised by things that take place. He's not sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, what just happened? I don't know how I'm going to handle this. No, He knows everything that's taking place. Because He is God, because He's the one that has control over everything, and we can trust Him with our lives, we must make sure that our houses that are built based upon Him and set upon Him as our foundation in everything, which means we must go to Him early and often. We must personally go to Him through reading the Scriptures, through prayer, to say, God, help me. I can't do this on my own. I'm sure everybody's been there at some point or another. I can't do this on my own. I can't stand on my own 2 feet at this point. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to raise this kid. Rely on God. Because as the video showed us, there's wisdom all throughout Scripture in order for us to be able to become that parent, that grandparent, that aunt, uncle that we need to be to show them Christ and everything. A house that stands forever will be the one that God builds. A house that stands forever will be the one that God builds. Therefore, we must go to Him and rely upon Him so that people might be able to experience the hope that comes through the foundation based upon Him and laid upon that foundation of who Jesus Christ is. So a house that stands will be the one that God builds. And so we must go and say, God, would You build this family? Would You strengthen this family? Would You enable this family to look like You, to experience life in You, to follow You in all things? Would You do it, God? Because I can't do it on my own. If we're going to see our child's life have a firm foundation, we must pray diligently for God to lay it. You better be praying for your kids. You better be praying for your grandkids. You better be praying for your nieces and nephews, because God is the only one that can really instill in them the things that they need to understand about who Jesus Christ is. Which comes into our next thought here is that we must trust God to do in your child's heart what you cannot do. You can only teach your child about Jesus. The Holy Spirit must help them to understand that truth. But we have an integral part in that we must teach them. We must help them. We must lead them into that so that they might be able to see the amazing truths of who God is. The reality is that only God can change your child's heart. but you can lead them to God. You can lead them to Jesus Christ. But you've got to be at that point where you're relying on Jesus, where you're relying on God in your own personal life. Listen, the biggest testimony that any single one of us can have is that man, that woman, they trust Jesus. I can see it all over their lives. They look like Christ because they're following Christ so much. That's the kind of testimony our kids and our culture and our society today need. We can do that if we rely on God. Secondly, we see that we can rejoice in the gift that God blesses you through children. Rejoice in the gift that God blesses you. I know that kids, first of all, are very painful and difficult, and the struggle is real. The struggle is real when it comes to raising kids. I know that. But we must never forget to see the kind of blessing and the gift that they are. Look at verse 3. He says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." Children are a reward. They're a blessing. They're a heritage. At some point, your kids are going to be the ones helping you. At some point, my kids are going to be helping me with different things. And they're going to be saying, "Dad, you better not do that anymore. You can't handle that. Don't do that. I build stuff and I like to get outside and work and do all kinds of things. I worked all weekend." At some point, I hope that they're the ones coming over to my house doing it for me. I won't expect that too much, but I hope that they will. But the reality is that they are an incredible blessing. And we must always remember that your children, no matter how difficult they are a heritage. A heritage. You know what's tied up in a heritage? Something that's given to you that you don't deserve. God, and you're thinking, "Oh, I definitely don't deserve what my kids do to me or put me through." No, that's not the kind of heritage. That's not the kind of thing that we're talking about here. It's a blessing that God says, "You don't deserve to have this kind of blessing, but I'm going to let these little ones come into your life in such a way that they're going to incredibly change your life and make you better because of who they are and what they do." They are someone that you are leaving a legacy to and through. Y'all, these little ones are somebody that you're leaving a legacy to, which means this: they see how you live your life and they're going to carry on what you teach them. But not only are they going to carry on what you teach them, they're going to teach somebody else the things that you teach them. That legacy that you have the ability to leave with your kids doesn't stop with you. It has the ability to go on and on and on if you teach your children the things that they need to understand. First and foremost, about Jesus. We have the ability to leave a legacy of Jesus through our kids, and there's no greater thing. The last truth that we can see is that we must ready your children to live in a world that is hostile towards God. This is an unfortunate thing to think about. But you know, we look at our culture today and we think, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe where we're at. And I say that all the time too. But you know what? Every generation has said that. I'm sure that many of you today said that in the past. "I can't believe that we're doing this in our culture. I can't believe this is happening." Yeah, that's true. That is true. But we must ready our kids. We must make sure that they are ready to follow through. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth." Like arrows. You know what arrows are good for? They're good for defending a people group, a city, a town, a village. And they're also good for attacking an enemy. Defending and attacking. Your kids are like arrows. And you have the ability to sculpt them, to shape them, to get them ready to fly long and straight. You've got that ability. Are you ready to take it? And I don't want anybody here to feel like they're exempt out of this, because every single person has some sort of a kid, a child in their life somewhere or another. You have the ability to help shape them so that they have the ability to fly straight, to fly long, and to go towards Christ first and foremost, but to defend the truth of Jesus Christ and who He is. Arrows are like a weapon. They are lethal when shaped correctly and used accurately. You have the ability to help shape these children to be useful in the hands of the Almighty Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you will, rely on Him, rejoice in this incredible gift, and be ready to ready and prepare these kids. You know, they say that kids change everything. Well, I believe that when we train our kids to know Jesus and to follow Jesus and experience life in Jesus, they have the ability to change the world around them for the kingdom of God. Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to do that? Now, I know that raising kids today in our culture is tough, and it's very challenging and it's very difficult. And I know that every person needs help. Therefore, this September, we're actually going to have a class called The Art of Parenting. Y'all get ready to sign up, okay? The Art of Parenting. And with that, there's a movie that goes along with that. But I want you to see this particular video that shows what this movie and what this class is going to be all about. So let's play this video.
We got a baby.
All of you have been strategically positioned for this hour to make a difference in our generation.
Does it not scare you at all to be a parent?
Valley moms have been raising babies for centuries. We'll figure it out.
Like a warrior, the Lord puts arrows in our hands and gives us the ability to sharpen the arrow and straighten the shaft.
I want to hear your ideas. I cannot do everything by myself.
He allows us the time to make the fletchings just right. Why? Because we all have a target in front of us.
You've done your job. You raised me, okay?
I can take care of myself.
Like tonight.
I'm fine.
The Lord has tasked us with aiming our arrows and releasing them into the world to make a difference in our generation. Today, you must choose between convenience and legacy.
You can't run around living life one day at a time. You got to know where you're going, and then lead.
Legacy is the greatest value. What will be your legacy for your children and your children's children?
We just have to remember that our job is to be faithful. Change is up to God.
Yeah. Let me go change her real quick, okay? And then I'll come check. Oh, that's awful.
Mama!
Did you hear that phrase? Our job is to be faithful. Change is up to the Lord. Listen, if you're in here tonight and you would say, Drew, I don't know that I can lead a kid that way because I don't know that the change is inside of me. I don't know that I've ever experienced forgiveness and salvation. If you're here tonight, in just a moment, we're going to have just a time of a little bit of an invitation. And you'll have the ability to respond here. But I want to do two things. If you need to respond to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you for your sins and to change your life, I'd love to talk with you more about that. Brother Dr. Fannin is over here as well. Brother Dr. Fannin, where'd that come from? Dr. Fannin is over here as well. And he would love to speak with you. Jake is here. Ryan's here. Joe, we've got all of our ministers in here. If you would like to be able to talk with somebody, we're available. But the other thing that I would like you to consider to do is if there's some family members in your life that need prayer, it'd be a great night to be able to ask, Lord God, would you do something special in my family's life and turn the course of their life back to you? Let's pray. If you would bow your heads in an attitude of prayer as we think through this, I want you all to be able to have an opportunity to respond. If that means you coming forward in order to pray for a family member, then you do that. If it's about asking what it means to follow Jesus, then you come forward as well.